Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new signature wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat based on average 6-inch sub.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah! gotta do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do?
Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to laugh at me if I throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Okay, and now welcome into the program, ladies and gentlemen. It helps if I find the mute button. My name is Rick Robinson. You are listening to the Robinson and Amish Show. He's the other half of the crew. One, the only, Ordy Packard, although Twitter's taken his name away, so now we just call him Amish Secreto.
Yes, I'm actually, you know what, I'm getting closer to that. Last night, I have my new burner phone in my hot little hand. I have just been too exhausted to actually go through the process of setting up. Oh, I'll get to it by the end of the week. But it's, I mean, you know, setting up the emails and then, you know, making the account, getting the text. And that's even before just, anyway. Hi, how are you?
I had to go through sensitivity training today. And honestly, that's what I was planning on ranting after you and I were done. But after doing the radio show, doing 2 hours of that, dealing with 6 hours of the other BS I had to do, dealing with all the crap that my kids usually help me take care of because they're currently out sitting with my dad, and still having to go to the store, I've kind of had a bit of an epiphany. I think I'm going to go back to maybe doing eventually the Robinson or the Rick Robinson show on Sundays, and I think I might move Rails to Tuesday, so at least I can do one a week, because Jen and I are doing our show now on Thursdays. So that way I don't necessarily have to try to stay up until midnight Eastern since I'm doing a show at 6 a.m. my time. So yeah, I don't like that idea. I'm getting too old to do that shit.
My time.
I'm getting too old to do that shit. But anyway,
I mean, that's good. And you know, it's kind of like we're filling up the week again because we have had kind of vacancies in the week. You know, with Bleepin' Podcast going on hiatus, with FUBAR going on hiatus, you know, when we move Cyber Chill into that spot. And so, yeah, I mean, we've got these, you know, I mentioned it to a couple people. I'm toying with the idea of a show. I'm not there yet because I still have to teach myself to produce. But, you know, something on the alternate Fridays off of Juxtaposition. And I'm in the formulation process right now. So I'm with you. I get it. And Sunday nights, you know, when we talked about that, that was when Sunday nights were kind of like becoming a regional for the network. And then Al went rogue and just said, fuck it, I'm doing whatever I want on Sundays. It may be national. It may be prepper. It may be Michigan. You never know.
Yeah, I've noticed on the new show, he just kind of says, fuck it, I'm going to do what I want. And I'm going to do it live.
Hey, it's funny. Okay, so you know, it's like, I'll just a solo already show. It's really not because it's going to be like a guest show. And what started that is I was talking to Fu and I said, you know, I really miss podcasting with you. She's like, yeah, I just hate talking about politics now. I like hanging out with you. So I'm also, if I were to do a non-political show, you'd be a guest. She's like, oh yeah. So that's why I'm kind of like, okay, getting into that. And then you know, it's because we've got so many friends who have different talents and different interests. You know, it would be, you know, I'm toying within my head, doing kind of a Space Ghost Coast to Coast kind of thing, but with, like, you know, people we know, and or even just, you know, interesting people who might want to come on the show.
Well, since your Twitter account's officially dead, you can do Amish Ghost Coast to Coast.
Right, there's that too. But yeah, if you haven't heard, idea for the next account is going to be based off of Secret Agent Man, but the Repo Man Pogues Spanish version of it, which was Hombre Secreto, I'm doing Amish Secreto. So, anyway, enough about me.
The English version would work too, though, because you could do Secret Amish Man.
Right. That also would be good. I thought about that too.
Because then the song would even fit. You could be like, Secret Amish Man. Oh, sorry. I'll quit now. Anyway.
So, okay, the timing of this can't be ignored, because in the last hour, he went into my wheelhouse and was talking about climate change. And then a couple days ago, a friend of the show, friend of the network, and one of my longer Twitter follower friends, who I also have on Discord, Corduroyalism, he dropped a list of the 50 times climate prediction has gone oh so wrong. And these are not in chronological order. It is just a random list. And I have to drop this because it's fantastic. Number one, dire famine forecast by 1975. Two, everyone will disappear in a cloud of blue steam by 1989. And that was made in 1969. That one is fun, because I don't know why everybody would disappear in a cloud of blue steam. Just vaporize because of runaway, yeah, whatever.
They got zapped by ozone. That's probably why it was blue.
1970, Ice Age by 2000. Damn. Also in 1970, America will be subject to water rationing by 1974 and food rationing by 1980. 1971, new ice age coming by 2020 or 2030. 1972, new ice age by 2070. This is the great thing with all doomsday cults, is they'll push the line a little farther away so they can like continue to grift in their lifetime.
Just move the goalposts a little more, we can get more money. But yeah, so the interesting thing, though, just to back it up for a second. So in, what was it, 67, 69-ish, they were saying that everybody was going to disappear. 2 years later, they're like food shortages, but they weren't even projecting anybody disappearing until the 80s. So how the fuck are we going to have food shortages by the 80s if everybody's gone? I'm confused.
Right. See, and that's just it. It's when you have all of these competing schools of thought. Yeah, it's like you and I were talking about during the break with our new climate or our climate czar, John Kerry, talking about how these oil companies need to, like, you know, they can't just be allowed to produce, you know, oil forever. Aren't these the same people who 10 years ago were talking about peak oil?
Yeah, oil was a finite resource, and it wasn't going to last forever. Now they're like, oh my God, we can't let these oil-producing companies produce oil forever. Technology's never going to progress. No, that's not right. Technology will progress as soon as the technology's there to allow it to progress. We're not there yet, and y'all keep trying to force 1960s and 1970s ideas and technology into the 21st century. That shit don't work.
Hey, I want 1950s technology with lifters, liquid salt reactors. Okay, so anyway, space satellites show next ice age coming fast. That was in 1974. And these are all the things that they say weren't predicted, you know, that, you know, we didn't see in Newsweek and everything else, that, you know, they're totally gaslighting us. Oh, they never predicted an ice age. Yeah, they predicted the fuck out of it, especially in 1974. That was like the panic du jour, because in 1970, another ice age. We didn't even have, anyway. And also 1974 is when they started talking about ozone depletion and how it'll be a great peril to life. That one, okay. I'm going to give them that one, because that was, ozone depletion was a real thing, but it was solved by eliminating a first world problem. CFCs were entirely a first world thing. So, like, all they did was just got rid of the CFCs, and so we didn't have perm holding hairspray, and Cheese Whiz tasted just a little bit different. Yeah, I think, and half a cent increase on, like, whipped cream. We could survive it.
And it was the death of big hair.
It was the death of big hair. So, you know what?
That was never the same.
I'm okay with that. Okay, so scientific consensus on planet cooling and famines were imminent. That was in 1976. 1980, acid rain kills life in the lakes. I remember that one. 1978, no end in sight for 30-year cooling trend, except for 20 years later when the narrative changed to warming. Sorry, 10 years later when the narrative changed to warming trend. 1988, regional droughts by 1990. Never happened. That actually waited until like 2000, I think. Let's see, 1988, temperatures in D.C. will hit record highs. Also in 1998, Maldives Islands will be underwater by 2018. They're not.
They're not.
1989, rising sea levels will obliterate nations if nothing is done by 2000. It didn't. 1989, New York City's West Side Highway will be underwater by 2019. It's not. In 2000, children won't know what snow is.
I wish.
Okay, so we're almost halfway through. Let's see. 2002, famine in 10 years if we don't give up eating fish, meat, and dairy. They always want us to go to eating bugs. This has been there for 20 years. They've been trying to put this on us.
Well, you know, they want you to eat crickets.
Let's see. In 2004, Britain will be Siberia by 2024. That was actually a bold prediction because that was after everybody else started moving to global warming. That's an actual, like, somebody clinging to global cooling, like grim death.
Let's see how that worked out for you. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. 2008, Arctic will be ice-free by 2018. Also in 2008, climate genius Al Gore predicts ice-free Arctic by 2013. He actually jumped the gun on that one.
And next year,
2009, UK Prime Minister says 50 days to save the planet from catastrophe. That was the original Greta Thunberg.
How dare you!
2009, climate genius Prince Charles says we have 96 months to save the world. That's an oddly specific. That's 8 years.
Yeah, wonder what was up with that number. There had to be a reason to use that number.
Let's see, climate genius Al in 2009. 1 year later, Al Gore moved up his prediction of an ice-free Arctic by 1 year to 2014. In 2013, there was also Arctic ice-free by 2015. See, now that was a dumb one because you're doing that too soon to capitalize on your grift. In 2013, saying the Arctic will be ice-free by 2015, you only got 2 years to peddle that one, guys. That wasn't thinking. 2014, only 500 days before climate chaos. Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Going back to all the way back to 1968 with this, Jim, overpopulation will spread worldwide. The population bomb. That was a fun one. Meanwhile, let's see, in 1970, the world will use up all its natural resources. Yeah, sure. Okay. 1966, wow, peak oil went back that far. Oil gone in 10 years. Then in 1972, oil will be depleted in 20 years.
1982, oil will be depleted.
Actually, it was in 1977. Department of Energy says oil will peak in the 1990s. That's when the peak oil thing started. 1980, peak oil in 2000. 1996, peak oil in 2020. 2002, peak oil in 2010. Another one fucked up their grift too soon. 2006, super hurricanes. You know what's funny about that one, too, is that hurricanes actually started to diminish around that time. You in intensity, not in frequency.
Yeah.
Let's see. 2005, Manhattan will be underwater by 2015. It's not. 1970, urban citizens will require gas masks by 1985.
I don't know. I might give them that one. Have you been to an urban area lately?
Yeah. And, you know, L.A. was actually pretty bad. I remember in the 80s going down to L.A. to visit my grandparents. You couldn't see the San Gabriel Mountains from San Gabriel. So, you know, now it's like, I mean, you see pictures of L.A. with the mountains behind it, and that's, you know, they've done a really good job. But I think that had more to do with consumer demand on the auto industry. You know, just saying, hey, we want cleaner cars rather than any government regulation. That's always, you know, the government can regulate whatever the hell that wants, but if a consumer doesn't want it, the industry drags its feet pretty slowly.
Yeah, the interesting thing is you don't need the gas mask anymore, but now you need a hazmat suit.
Right. That's, yeah, because L.A. also has the plague.
The plague, fecal matter in the streets, use neon, it's bad. Anyway.
Let's see. Okay, so getting towards the end, we're hitting the bottom here. 1970, nitrogen buildup will make all land unusable. Let's see. Also in 1970, decaying pollution will kill all the fish. And the one that I miss the most, 1970, killer bees.
Bum, bum, bum.
I miss it. I mean, I know that they're a big thing in Texas, like I was talking about with Core Royals. I mean, it's, you know, every once a year they'll have that, you know, panic porn story in Los Angeles, you know, where they found a house that was just completely infested with killer bees, and then, you know, everybody worries about it. Then all the news reports talk about killer bees for a week, and then they go back to something else.
Yeah, but see, now it's not killer bees anymore. Now it's murder hornets.
Yeah, that's right. I think the murder hornets killed all the killer bees.
The murder hornets had a turf war with the killer bees, and they won.
Yeah, or how murder bees, they bred. That's the genetically altered mosquitoes. Gonna kill them all.
Oh, dude, yeah, I don't even. I saw a story about that the other day, and I was like, oh my god, they really did release genetically modified mosquitoes into.
Has nobody read fucking Michael Crichton?
Dude, they're doing so many things that we've seen and read about that were just a terrible idea. Like, they're literally trying to bring back dinosaurs. I'm like, have you not ever seen any science fiction movies? This is
I'm convinced scientists don't actually watch science fiction.
I don't understand. I mean, even if
you see archaeologists opening tombs all the time, we've seen the mummy, people. 50 years of the dark universe of Universal Studios. I mean, come on!
But I mean, look, even if it's not that, can you imagine, like, opening shit from, like, 4, 5, 6,000 years ago that's been decaying the whole time? You know what the fuck you're letting out of there.
You know, to quote the great Ford Fairlane, use your head!
So. Yeah, apparently they don't want to do that. Anyway.
Okay, 1975, The Cooling World and Drastic Decline of Food Production. That seems like a replay on that one. 1969, Worldwide Plague, there's the population, overwhelming population, pollution, ecological catastrophe, and virtual collapse of the UK by the end of the 20th century.
We just don't like the British.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, I get it. I mean, we went to war with them, but everything that's going to be bad starts in either Antarctica or Britain.
It seems to. Let's see, 1972, pending depletion and shortages of gold, tin, who cares, oil, natural gas, copper, and aluminum. I mean, I understand you need tin to make bronze, but, you know. Okay, 1970, oceans dead in a decade, U.S. water rationing by 1974 and food rationing by 80. We did that one already.
Yeah, well, you know, they like to recirculate things.
Yeah, let's see. 2005, 50 million climate refugees by the year 2020. Well, okay.
I mean, they could always make that prediction true and just be like, we're renaming all the migrants climate refugees.
Right. You know, okay, so a lot of these seem to be replaced. So we're going to go to number 50. The Washington Post predicts cherry blossoms blooming in winter. And there you have it. Do the Paul Schaefer drum roll at the end of the David Letterman list. And there you have it. So,
don't have a drum roll, but that's the best I got.
Anyway. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, you know.
So I got that list, and I had to drop it because not being on Twitter, I can't. I couldn't just keep that to myself, you know.
Well, the funny thing is, and this came up earlier, they were talking about it in the chat, and everybody's like, so if the big issue is greenhouse gases, but plants breathe in greenhouse gases, then what's the problem? I'm like, well, I can tell you. It's the hubris of man. That's the problem. We assume that nature doesn't have any way of correcting itself when nature's been around a hell of a lot longer than we have. It's just dumb.
What is the ideal planet of the Earth? I mean, if it's warming, and that's allegedly a bad thing. What is, you know... I mean, these are all... Yeah. Anyway. It's so damn frustrating. Because it's the whole thing is just a grift. It always has been. Climatology, and I know... Those of you who have listened to me rant about this quite a bit have heard me say this before. Climatology used to just be like statistic nerds who liked the weather. You know, kind of like, you know, baseball fans, you know, where you can look at the statistics of a baseball game and know exactly how the game unfolded. You just by looking at the stats of the game. And it's cool. You know, it's kind of math based and, you know, but climatologists used to just be data nerds. And then they found out that they could make quite a bit of money by being Chicken Littles. And ever since then, the entire discipline has just become a joke.
Which is why Ordy's not a climatologist. Anyway.
So, what's grinding your gears, Rick?
Well, I mean, you know. To start with, And I've been saying this lately, and I've been getting into a little bit of hot water about it, but I think it's time that, you know, somebody steps in and does something about the cauliflower in chief. Because I keep thinking about this from, you know, like my granddaughter's perspective. This guy is somebody's grandpa, and they're eventually going to see all the videos of him, like, shaking hands with thin air and talking to a curtain for 5 minutes and not even able to put together a sentence. I mean, I've called him Boomhauer before, but the latest video was even worse than that. And I'm just like, you know, it's time. Somebody from the family needs to just come clean, say, we fucked up, we gotta figure something out, this guy needs to get some help. Because he's just gone. He's not even there anymore.
Have you noticed the same people who are defending that, saying, oh, he was just pointing at the audience with his whole hand? Those are the same people who made fun of Clint Eastwood talking to a chair for 20 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, during the whole Easter Sunday thing. There was a White House staffer in an Easter bunny costume that basically started manhandling the president because he wouldn't stay away from small children.
That, and he was talking about Afghanistan and small children.
I mean, just...
Time and a place, dude. Time and a place.
And that ain't it. I don't know the guy, but he's been doing this for longer than I've been alive, and he sucked at it the entire time. So I don't have any love for the man, on principle. But at the same time, at some point, people in his family are going to be looking at this shit because it's never going to go away. And they're going to be like, oh my god, what did you guys do to Grandpa? What did you guys do to Great-Grandpa? And they're going to be like, well, it was more important at the time that we got the orange Cheeto out of office, so we just did what we had to do.
And there's the child of some stripper in Alabama pointing and laughing. Sorry. the unmentioned grandchild.
Yeah, the one nobody talks about. Yeah, I know what you meant. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
I
at this point, just let it happen. Just let it keep going, because the midterms are going to be a bloodbath. And, okay, a little teaser for tomorrow's show, because this is kind of a big deal in case... I mean, I'm not even on Twitter, and I heard about this one. The Florida State Senate passed, along party lines, the resolution to strip Disney of its special privileges.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to bring up, too.
Yeah, so we're on the same page with that one. So yeah, that's going to cost Disney tens of millions of dollars a year. Yeah, this is the very epitome of get woke, go broke. All they had to do, all the brands have to do, is say nothing and do nothing. And then they're going to have maybe 5 minutes of outrage from the weirdos on social media. I mean, remember that whole Henry's thing, Henry's Razors?
Mm-hmm.
That was one dude who was like a fake account, who had never tweeted anything except for like a couple other, you know, threats to brands. It was a total sock account. And because of that, Henry's shit the bed. Harry shit the bed so bad that the Daily Wire went and started their own razor brand.
Oh, I know. Their commercials are fucking hilarious. They remind me of that soap company. anyway.
Which one? Squatch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, no. So the interesting thing is, you know, when this passes the Senate, because it probably will, and then it gets signed by the governor because it was him wanting to do it in the first place, the Magic Kingdom will overnight become the Magic Trailer Park.
And, you know, the best part of it is, like, you know, you got Jared Polis from Colorado saying, hey, Disney, why don't you come to Colorado where, you know, we don't have socialist intervention in businesses, and everyone's like, aren't you the Masterpiece Bakery guy? State? Aren't you that? And, you know, even residents are going, what the fuck are you talking about? Our ski areas are in trouble. People can't afford to live there. There's a housing crisis in the state, and you want to bring Disney here?
Good plan, sir. Good plan. Besides, when is it ever going to be warm enough for anybody to do anything at Disney if it's in Colorado?
I mean, okay. Colorado is basically okay. Utah.
I was being facetious.
I know, but Colorado is basically, you know what it is? It's hippie Utah. which is funny because Utah was actually hippies and Mormons before Colorado was hippies. So thank you, Mork and Mindy, for ruining that state. Well, actually, no, I'm going to blame Fat Tire.
Yeah, you're right, Jeff. I said it backwards, so you can get rid of the exclamation points now.
Yeah. We all know what he meant. But yeah, so Disney, come to Colorado. Why? You can't even keep the tourism industries you have. Plus, you got that creepy-ass fucking airport.
Dude, their airport is weird. I've only flown through it one time, and from that point forward, I was like, you know what? I'm routing around this one.
I mean, I know it's been done to death, so there's no reason for us to do a juxtaposition on it, but damn, if you're not familiar with it, go look at some of the pictures. That's just a creepy airport.
I don't know. At some point, we might do that as, like, you know, one of those episodes where we do two or three things, kind of throw that one in there just for fun.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Death Santis is the new moniker, like Cocaine Mitch.
Stop making these people cooler than they actually are.
I don't know, dude. DeSantis is actually pretty cool, I think.
No, DeSantis is cool. I mean, you had Cocaine Mitch on his skull of on his throne of skulls, and
I'm telling you, that was a different timeline, though, because at some point it shifted, and now we're back to Milquetoast Mitch, and I'm just not happy.
Yeah, I mean, okay, well, here's what happened is, like, you know, they were all trying to, you know, save their asses from Trumpian wrath, I think. Him, Lindsey Graham, you know, they all kind of, like, they puffed out their chests, and they, you know, they got based for like a minute. and then as soon as Trump was out of office, they went back to being what they've always been.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I was like, because there for a while, I mean, Lindsey Graham and him both were like, oh my God, they found their spines.
The right.
And then like the minute Trump was out of office, they're like, back up. I mean, all of a sudden their sacks were back in Pelosi's purse. I'm like, what the fuck? Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was one story I definitely wanted to bring up because I thought it was interesting when I heard that break today because I was like, oh, because I mean, that's the thing. I didn't even know that was a thing until they started talking about it the other day. I'm like, so literally the Magic Kingdom has been able to basically govern itself for almost 60 years and they've been exempt from certain taxes and they've been exempt from blah, blah,
they've
blah.
They've been exempt yada, yada. From building codes. They've had no county inspectors. I mean, obviously Disney's going to do it better than most because the last thing they want is to have, you know, like the, you know, theme park tragedy thing going on. So, you know, it's not like they're going to totally like sideshow Cecil it on the Springfield Dam. But
how much revenue has Florida lost because they're not subject to the same things that other businesses are?
Well, okay, when this thing started, I get it. Because Orange and Escalo counties couldn't afford to do what was necessary to build the Disney attractions. Yeah, they were pretty poor, middle of Florida, just swampland. And so Disney said, hey, you know, we can do things because we've got this other park and we've got all the money of our movies and, you know, everything. We can do this. So you just kind of let us be our own entity. And at the time, it's like, oh, look at all those tourism dollars. Yeah, that's a great idea. Now, again, government being government. Oh, look, you built this whole infrastructure. We built that. That's ours now. And I understand. Okay. I get why it's happening. I really do. And it's a very costly mistake for Disney. They could have just said nothing. But this isn't something that us as conservatarians, libertarians, and conservatives should really be rooting for. Because this is just... I mean, okay. Disney probably shouldn't... I mean, to have the level playing field, they shouldn't have had those after they implemented everything. I get that. I mean, because Universal Studios doesn't have that. Legoland doesn't have that. But on the other hand, this is kind of eminent domain-ish.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. I was just surprised that it was even still a thing because most of those things have sunsets on them. I mean, my state does that all the time. They'll give people tax breaks or they'll do this or they'll do that, and then after so many years, it goes away. I had no idea that they were basically their own, you know, their own government for almost 60 years. And it's no wonder they eventually started believing their own press because they literally started treating it in their head. Disney was like was like foreign soil.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, it's corporate land instead of tribal land. But it's funny because actually Nevada's been toying with that idea to get businesses in it, like especially like Northern Nevada. Because remember when Elon Musk was going to like have his own city and everybody went, oh my God, no, he can't do that. That's so wrong. But you cheer for Disney doing it. I just the intellectual inconsistency of being a leftist is just stunning.
I mean, so my question is, since Disney was basically its own government for all this time, did they have like their own police force and shit? Was it like Disney PD?
You're right. You're going up to the Mouse House. No, I actually think that they just didn't have to pay taxes on things like, I mean, they had their own security, obviously. But then if anything warranted beyond being banned from the park, you know, any like felonious behavior, I'm pretty sure that Orange or Oswego counties would have to send in their police. And they didn't have to, you know, Disney didn't have to pay taxes on it. Same with like fire departments. I mean, Disney is actually using Disneyland as a model out here. And I can imagine that it's even larger out there. I mean, they still pay Anaheim out here, but Disney's waste management, fire suppression, and security forces are pretty on the fucking ball. So, I mean, it can be argued that, I mean, well, obviously anything private industry does is infinitely better than government. But yeah, that's, I think they've just been kind of like, hey, you know, we need all your services, but we don't have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah, no. So apparently they do have like an unofficial police department, but they don't have police powers. So they do still, like, if somebody has to be arrested, it's basically a private security force on steroids.
Kind of like stadium police.
Yeah, they're
like when you get rowdy at a ball game, they take you to stadium jail until the real cops get there.
Yeah, apparently it's nicknamed the WDW police, but yeah, it's basically just like a security division on steroids. So, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to have to read through that. The Aladdin's exception to... anyway. Interesting. Thanks, Jeff. I'll have to read that later. Damn it, making me read. Yeah, so apparently they have contingency plans, too.
Well, apparently they also have a satellite Orange County office on property.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
You'd almost have to, because... It's 35 square miles of property they have, I believe. So that's, like, a lot.
Yeah, at one point, years ago, when I was doing the private security work for the gay group out, the gay section out here, at one point, we had control of all of the properties, and they were actually considering a resolution to basically apply as a township, and they were going to have us actually become the police department, and I started fighting it because they wanted us to be called Rainbow PD, and I'm like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, that would have been kind of cool, though. You could have been like kind of like Reno 911, but...
Like, nope, I'm out. You can, you know...
The most fabulous police department in the nation.
Would have been cool to have, like, police powers officially again, but yeah, no. Is it because, you know, I'd have been the smartass that would have been like, you know, instead of sirens, we'd have been running down the road with the PA blaring, pull over.
What was that? Oh, that old Eddie Murphy bit? Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. Good stuff. Well, what do you think? You want to take a break or just run through?
Might as well run through. We only got like 15 minutes left anyway.
Uh-huh. That's cool. So what else is on your mind?
Well, let's see what else we can pull up here. I mean, so part of it, part of what I was going to talk about tonight was stuff that I put up with today, like realizing that, you know, the same people that are convinced that all these, you know, anti-discrimination laws are going to save the world, most of the laws governing this stuff are still gender-specific at the federal level. If you go through and you actually read them, there's a lot of they's and them's, but when it gets to the actual language, it says he and him. And I'm like, wait, so we can't discriminate against people based on sex, but... this is a male law. I was confused.
It's, yeah. Again, where government can't keep up with its own rhetoric. Yeah, I was thinking about it today. Actually, I think it was, yeah, it was last night after I got off, after we finished up with CyberChill. I think the universe is protecting me by not being on Twitter right now, because I definitely would be suspended because of Taylor fucking Lorenz right now. I'm not going to go too far into it. I just hope that she gets everything she has coming to her.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, if he wasn't already suspended, this would have done him in.
Yeah, that would have done it. I mean, I could not have kept my mouth shut about that one. I really couldn't. I could not have. Bless all of you who were able to just make passing shots without. But yeah, I mean, just 2 weeks ago, she was talking about how wrong this is. Apparently, it's only wrong when other people do it. But
it's fine when she does it.
This is one of those things where I'm glad she lives in Los Angeles, because I know that she bathes in my urine. She doesn't know it yet, but I know she does. So,
oh, nice.
You know, I asked Justin, I said, okay, so what's the meme about sending Taylor empty egg crates? And it's because she's 49 and barren.
Oh, God.
So she's getting thousands of empty egg crates sent to her.
Oh, good Lord. That's kind of terrible.
Again,
funny.
Everything she has coming to her.
So speaking of everything that they have coming to them, have you heard the latest about CNN?
Oh, CNN Plus.
No, it's not just CNN Plus. So apparently, there's still like a buyout thing moving forward to a point. There's been a new CEO appointed that's over like the Time Warner Discovery Plus shit. So basically, he's telling everybody that CNN is going to go back to being an actual news agency, and that they're going to start trimming the fat and getting rid of the dead weight. And then he starts talking about the fact that because CNN Plus has performed so badly, they've already stopped all media buys. And I'm just thinking, yeah, at this point, I'm sure the Tater and Mr. Cuckoo Cuckoo have probably been put on suicide watch. Because...
And Oliver Tater Tot Darcy. Wow. Yeah, that's... Jeff just posted... in chat, a tweet from Ben Shapiro: Disney's stock down 5%, 5.5% today. Yikes. I love the irony of Tater talking on his CNN Plus show about how Netflix's stock is hemorrhaging because they're starting to, for the first time in a decade, lose subscribers. Again, another get woke, go broke scenario. And, yeah, I'm sure we're going to be talking about this on Culture Shift tomorrow. But funny thing, you brought up, we talk about it on Culture Shift often. The new president of Discovery Networks, or he's the president of Discovery Networks, he's being put in charge of Time Warner's television streaming platforms. So that includes CNN, Discovery, Discovery Plus, so on and so forth. He's been talking about doing the purge at CNN for a while, waiting for this whole, it passed U.S. regulations, but it was waiting on EU and UK versions of that before they could finally do the whole thing. And the way I've been my metaphor for the way that I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, the president of Discovery, has been talking, especially when talking about CNN, to paraphrase him, is I do not fancy myself the owner of a whorehouse.
That's not a bad analogy, though.
It really isn't. And so, yeah, I mean, you can kind of see the fear in the CNN's employees who are smart enough to shut the fuck up, have shut the fuck up. And that excludes Tater Tot and Tater and other ones who just, and goddamn it, Chris Wallace, if having Jen Psaki on tonight doesn't save that network, nothing will.
Well, guess what? Nothing's going to save it.
No, that's done. Yeah, they stopped doing external ad buys. And, I mean, you can only promote your show in-house. It's like, hey, also on my show over on CNN+. That would be like if we spun off KLRN and you just, like, showed it no love. whatsoever.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. No. Fuck those guys. But yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, it's just funny to me because you know Wallace said, you know, I mean, and granted, you know, again, going back to how all this started, 2016, we were all firmly in the Never Trump column. But at some point, you've got to stop trying to root for the guy that's flying the plane to crash the motherfucker. Biden makes that nearly impossible, but I'm still trying because it's what I do. But with Trump, he never got out of that mindset. Everything Trump ever did was wrong. It was stupid. It was terrible. And, I mean, you know, one thing or the other. But to have this idea that you're going to leave somewhere like Fox News, get over on some new streaming platform for a company that you already knew nobody was barely watching anyway, and somehow you think because you go over there, you're going to be their second coming? Dude, you weren't even that popular on fucking Fox!
Yeah, especially after his, you know, during the debates, and, you know, I mean, just playing his partisan hand, which was, I think he was signaling to CNN, hey, I want to come over. But, you know, the thing, I mean...
Yeah.
Once CNN lost the airport contract...
That was it.
That, it was, I mean... The only thing keeping them alive for the last 2 years was COVID and the daily fear porn. You know, those people who just could not. My analogy to the last 2 years was like when the global war on terror started. We watched 9/11 happen, and then I didn't change the channel off of Fox News for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was pretty much the same. Always talk radio, always Fox News.
Yeah, and then at one point I just stopped. And that's how America is with COVID. It just stopped. So, the people who need that constant panic are the only thing that's been keeping CNN alive for the last 2 years. So.
Because, I mean, honestly, for most of the time that I was working nights, my only real exposure to talk radio was Coast to Coast AM because I didn't really have any interest in listening to the political stuff. And then... Well, I take that back. I kind of got into Rush Limbaugh a little bit during high school, then kind of got turned back off again. But then when I started working nights, it was mostly Coast to Coast. And then I started turning on Rush a little bit more and more. And then all the terror shit started in 2000, 2001. And I was at that point, it was pretty much all Fox News and all talk radio all the time. It was driving my wife crazy because like anytime she got in the truck, she's like, can we please listen to something else? I'm like, do you not want to be informed, you crazy? Anyway.
Do you know what world we live in now? Yeah. So yeah.
We can see how well that works because she ain't here anymore anyway.
But I mean, that really just kind of, you know, the way we moved on from the constant addiction to the news is the way America has moved on from COVID. You have pockets of it who just can't let it go. The mask mandate.
Oh yeah, that's another interesting little side story because, you know, a federal judge struck it down, the travel mask mandate, yesterday, and Biden comes out and says, well, we think Americans should be able to do whatever they want to do, but if the CDC decides that we need to challenge that, then we probably will. So then they come out today and the CDC signals to the Justice Department that they definitely need to challenge it. I'm like, so the same group that the judge says overstepped their authority is the ones that you're making the deciding factor as to whether or not that should be challenged. That's a great thing.
Okay, so the thing is that which point are they challenging? Because the judge actually found 3 points of it that were unconstitutional. So, I mean, what are they, you know...
And the whole thing about it is the travel mask mandate was supposed to go away the same time they got rid of Title 42. So we're really only talking about this thing being done away with like 3-4 weeks early. That's it.
Yeah, so by the time that this all gets, you know, appealed... The mask mandate would have been over anyway. They just want this as a way. The Biden administration is just racking up L's on a daily basis. So this is just another. And
I think they're just collecting them at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's you don't need to have liberals posting their L's. The White House does a press conference every day about it. So it's just.
I think there's more to it. Because this judge was appointed by Trump. You know, you hear all the media talking heads on the left. Well, this person never spent a day in the courtroom, never did any time as an attorney, and all of a sudden, because they had this training, they're a judge, and they're so young, and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. This woman put together a nearly 60-page brief explaining her opinion. She went into greater detail than the Supreme Court in her brief, in most cases. Most of theirs aren't even anywhere near that long. And she went into explicit detail as to how and why and why she felt the CDC overstepped their authority on these three separate points. And now they're just having a fit over it. And it's because if this wasn't a Trump-appointed judge, I don't think it would have been nearly the huge deal that it is. But I think they're thinking if they can keep the mandate in place through at least the midterm, I think they still think they have a fighting chance. President, he's 30, his Quinnipiac has him at 33%, and you know how much they oversample, so it's probably closer to 20.
Yeah, Raptor made a good point in chat, and here's, okay. So their argument for the mask mandate is, we still need to wait and see, and it probably for the public benefit if we, still had masks on transportation and everything. However, their argument for letting Title 42 sunset is that COVID is no longer a problem. Which is it? You cannot have both. You cannot say both things. Well, if you're the Biden administration, you can, because if Trump administration were to say it, or any other Republican administration were to say it, they would say, well, that's completely hypocritical, because, Title 42, when you say that COVID isn't a thing anymore and you can sunset it, but on the other hand, you've got your CDC saying that COVID's still a thing and we need to have the mask mandate on public transportation. And also, are we back to the smartest virus in the world that it knows when it's on a moving vehicle?
Yeah.
It knows when it's in a public moving conveyance. But private, no problem.
Needless to say, just to give you guys another idea, because you may not have seen these numbers, in January of 2022, there were 121,000 confirmed cases in the country all the time, like on a daily basis at that point. We're now down to 10,000. So we're talking about a significant drop nationwide. And these people are still like, but we have to keep the masks on, we have to do this, we have to do that. Why? Hospitalizations are down everywhere. Case rates are down everywhere. We have to let things start getting back to normal. At this point, I don't care if people want to wear masks, but stop telling me that I have to fucking wear one.
I see people in masks all the time. I mean, they're far and few between. I mean, I see them a lot around. And it's, it's not jarring. It's like, okay, so I get it. That person has their reasons. But it's like with the vaccination. You notice they stopped pushing the vaccination because I don't know about where you're at. In my area, there's a 20% unvaccinated where they have one or fewer vaccinations. That hasn't changed in 4 months. It's not going to change. That will always be 20%. So they've kind of just given up. They say, oh, by the way, if you want to get vaccinated, here's where you can get it. But if you haven't been vaccinated already, you probably aren't going to, huh? So.
Well, that's because there's other data coming out that they can't refute anymore. They're finding that people that have been completely unvaccinated have longer standing immunities. Like the further, like the people that have only had like the one or the two shots, or they've had like the two boosters that were first ordered, the longer they go from those booster shots, the more likely they are to be infected again. And it's because it's exactly what we've talked about this on this show. These aren't vaccines. These are they're fucking patches. Anytime they tell you you got to get a new vaccine, it's because the virus is mutated. They have to train your immune system how to fight the new strain, because when they made you take the original vaccine, it only showed your body how to make one variant of the strain to be able to fight. And that's why the further away you get from that variant, the more likely you are to become infected again, because your body cannot naturally evolve the stuff on its own, because it's only been trained to do this in one way, and it didn't happen naturally. So that's why they keep saying, well, now you have to get this booster, now you have to get this booster. And I'm just like, no. I mean, at this point, I am fairly certain I've had COVID at least three separate times in the last 3 years. But I've survived it.
Just call it endemic, put it in the flu shot, call it good.
I don't understand why. I mean, well, I from a political perspective, I understand why they're still treating it the way they're treating it, because this was the perfect dry run for them to try to take a stab at universal basic income, and so many people bit that they think if they can keep us on the hook long enough, it's gonna become a tipping point.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, people have already, well, no, because there's still a labor shortage, but I mean, huge labor shortage, but I don't know. And even in California, they're not trying to blackmail us with, stay-at-home money anymore. I mean, we'll find out come the primaries, but still.
There's no money left. Now they're just trying to find other ways to blackmail you. Like, Biden apparently has now handpicked, like, 50,000 people that are going to get their student loans waived by executive order. I'm like, I want to see who made that shortlist.
Right. I'm sure they'll all be, like, you know, journalism and DEI majors. By the way, if you're not in the corporate world, you don't know what DEI is. That's diversity, equity, and inclusion. Rick and I were talking about before, we both have had in our respective jobs in the same week have been told we need to re-up our DEI training.
Yeah, I had to do mine today, and I was so glad that I was in my own office with where nobody could see me, because it's only supposed to be an hour training, but by the time you read through all of it and answer all the questions, it's closer to an hour and 30 minutes. And I wanted to eat a bullet about 45 minutes in. It's like, I'm glad I don't have a firearm in reach right now.
Yeah, right. I mean, because I know that, you know, between mine and the subsequent test afterwards, it's 90 minutes. So.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my God. And honestly, it felt like 3 hours. And really, it was only about, because I got to take my break afterwards because I had to work through it. So it was all in about an hour and 45 minutes. And I'm like, oh my God, that feels like it was at least 4 hours. But it was terrible. I mean, you know, I talked about this on Twitter a little bit today. But I think that the piece de resistance for me, right, is this is the training that's trying to tell you how to make sure that as an employee or possibly potentially a supervisor someday, you're more inclusive. So we get to the section that I like to call Don't Be a Racist Dick. And basically on this section, there are two different scenarios where they basically walk you through the scenario and then basically by the end it asks, how would you handle this? And it gives you multiple choice. The irony is, in both scenarios, the people that were being discriminated against were Asian. So the section of the test that is basically telling you not to be a racist dick was in fact a racist dick. And nobody caught it. I'm like, how? How did you not realize that in the section that you're trying to tell people how not to be a racist dick, you yourself were basically singling out a single ethnicity? Maybe you should have changed it up. I mean, granted, one was male, one was female, but still, you know, maybe do, you know, some guy making fun of the Asian accent, and then maybe in the next one, some guy making fun of a Jamaican accent or something, but not. Both people were Asian, and I'm just like, who the fuck wrote this? And how are you trying to tell me about not being racist when obviously you're a closet fucking racist?
Not a lot of Orientals in Oklahoma.
Well, no, there are actually quite a few.
I know. I think it's Oklahoma. Is that where General Tso's Chicken was born?
I don't know if that's where it was born at, but I like me some General Tso's Chicken, I'm just saying. Anyway.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Al, talking about DEI training all the time, is that because I started with this new job in January, I had to take all of last year's DEI training, and now it's coming around again, so it's like new DEI. I got to put on my dashboard. I don't know if I can handle more DEI training so soon.
Well, and the interesting thing is, and this one's different than the one that I did last year, because this year they had to fold in the Latinx crap, and I'm just like, wait a minute. So the same people that you're referencing when you talk about Latinx overwhelmingly don't like the idea that you've gone away from Latino to Latina and replaced it with this Latinx stuff. But we're still going to teach it anyway. And the ultimate irony is, at this point, if you're really trying to remove gender from Latin languages, you have to rewrite the whole fucking language, because each one of them is gender-specific. They have gender-specific these. They have gender-specific verbs. You can't do this without changing everything about the language, and it's just stupid. And it's
like, and that's most of the Romance languages too.
Spanish, French, Latin, because they're all based in you know, ancient Latin, and even ancient Latin was that way. It was a language that was specifically derived, and depending on who you were talking about, there was actual language in there that determined the gender. And it's been that way for Latin, which was where everything started from. You have French, Italian, Spanish, all of it. Even all their little inner dialects and everything. They're all the fucking same. So if we're getting to the point where gender's not supposed to matter, why the fuck is it the only thing that matters?
Well, and that's funny because these are the same cultures that they'll hold up to. Is I'm going to borrow from Doomcock here real quick. That, you know, hold up is how progressive ancient Rome and the Greeks were towards LGBTQIAMOUSE culture. So it's like, okay, yes, I mean, they were very open to, you know, it's, you know, you had your wife for children, but your real love was with another man or whatever. And so, but, you know, it also, yes, they also have the most gendered language. I mean, every, yes. It wasn't, I mean, the pronoun was built into the language.
Exactly.
You know, we talk about pronoun people now. You know, no, it's, the language was geared towards your pronoun.
But that's the whole thing, you know. I tweeted that out today, and you know, our resident bar babe, who also happens to be a Latina, was like, "And wait, I thought that it was overwhelmingly proven that most of the people of Latin descent don't even like this idea."
93% of Latinos and Hispanics,
and I'm like,
reject.
And I'm like, chica, it doesn't matter what you want. This is about a bunch of white people in power that are trying to assuage the guilt of white privilege. It's not about you. It's about making themselves feel better. It's not about doing the right thing. I mean, that was the overwhelming theme in everything that I read through today, and it was just like a light bulb, like reading through it. Like, the original stuff that was written all the way back in the 60s that started all this, they've never gone in and changed it. It's all still gender-specific. Every single part of that law that says that you can't discriminate on this, that, or the other, including sex, by the way, is gender-fucking-specific!
Yes.
It's just dumb. Yeah.
But you see, this is the great failing of DEI, is that the only people who care about it are white liberal women or poverty pimps, race pimps.
And look, let's just be honest. If you really wanted to come up with a non-gender-specific way to say Latino or Latina, we already had it. It's called people of Latin descent. Hello. Yeah.
Or, I mean, I know that Hispanic doesn't necessarily incorporate all of Latin culture, but it does a pretty fair approximation. You know?
It's just stupid. And the more you...
Yes, I know that just refers to people from Hispaniola, but still.
I know. If Aggie was in here, she'd be threatening to hack you.
I know. She'd be, yeah, Chonkos would be flying.
Which, but, I don't think she liked my joke earlier, because when I said that, she's like, you know, I get it, but it just makes me so stabby. And I replied, stabby or hacky hacky choppy choppy, because, you know, if you know, you know. She never said anything. It's like, you don't.
Hey, you sound like you're a lot better.
You don't stab people with a machete, you hack them. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've been feeling pretty good, but that's one of the reasons why I've kind of decided I'm going to cut back a little bit, because honestly, it seems like every time I start trying to get sick again is when I go back to trying to do 40 hours of work and 30 hours a week of radio. I don't think I can do that anymore. At least not for a while. So, I think we're going to start, because since Jen and I are moving to Tuesdays, I think I'm going to move Rails to Tuesdays, and that way...
Moving to Thursdays.
And then moving Jen and Rick to Thursdays, so that way I can pretty much be done by 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock Eastern. Usually about 10 o'clock Eastern. We're a little bit over now. And then on Sundays, at some point, I'll probably... I'm debating whether I'm just going to move the Rick Robinson show over there, or honestly, I have the project that I had almost gotten greenlit on KOKC that was going to be called The Weekender. I'm kind of thinking I might do that one instead. Because it's obviously never going to get used over there.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, is the cock even still around?
Yeah, they're still around. Honestly, I'm back on the fill-in rotation. I just had... He asked me a couple of days ago, and I was like, dude, I'm too sick. I don't want to come in there and fucking spread whatever this is all over your equipment. And you guys won't let me work remotely, so he found somebody else for now. So I may be back off the rotation again, but he did at least ask.
Yeah. There you go. That's something.
But anyway, so yeah. I know you have to get up early, and...
I got a little time. What are you watching?
What have I been watching? So, started kind of watching a little bit of classic Doctor Who versus the older, the newer-ish Doctor Who stuff. I kind of went back and rewatched the Eccleston year. I never really got into that the first couple times I tried to watch it, so I went back and kind of watched it again. Honestly, it wasn't as bad as I remember. It was still one of the darker years, but I mean, it wasn't anywhere near as dark as Capaldi. And then, of course, they had the Easter holiday special for the Whitaker Doctor this past weekend, and I tried to watch that and fell asleep on it twice. So,
I forget that that's even a thing. the Whitaker Doctor. Yeah, no, the Eccleston years were good. The only thing, I think it was, okay, it wasn't so much that Billie Piper annoyed me. And if you don't know Billie Piper, she is, at the time, she was kind of like the UK's Britney Spears, who married a Roger Murdoch kind of guy. So, and at the time, and so that was kind of like that. She was one of those famous for being famous, but no real talent kind of things. And she didn't annoy me much. It was the Mickey character that annoyed me at first, just pissed me the hell off. And that it wasn't until like during the Tenet years, I'm like, okay, Mickey's kind of cool, and Billy Piper's annoying as fuck. So
I don't know, because well, so for me, honestly, and this was just my thought process at the time, most of the Doctor's companions, they were never really eye candy-ish. I thought Piper was kind of hot, to be honest. But then she went on to do some weird show on HBO or Showtime or something. I was just like, yeah, and that's when I kind of...
Oh, you mean when she was in Penny Dreadful?
Yeah, was that one? And then she did something else, too.
Okay.
But yeah, and that was kind of when I realized that, you know, I was apparently paying attention to certain assets and not her abilities. You know, it is what it is. But yeah, no, I'm the same way. Mickey annoyed the shit out of me at first. He was one of those people that eventually grew on me, though. Yeah, I know. I get it. That was probably the hottest companion ever. I understand you.
Yeah. But I agree.
But she's a ginger, so it's kind of a given.
But Martha Jones was still hotter. But the funny thing, one of my favorite episodes during high. The whole Mickey, it wasn't during the Eccleston years, it was during the Tennant years, but it was when Sarah Jones.
Yeah.
Shit. The one when it was like Mickey figured out that he was canine.
Yeah.
I'm the bloody dog.
Yeah, so, I remember what you were talking about. But yeah, no. But yeah, the funny thing is, in what is probably going to be the finale, a couple of the old school companions are coming back. Sarah, but they're doing like Ace, and one of the other ones is coming back for the end of Whitaker's era, which I thought
Sarah passed away.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of cool, but at the same time, it's kind of emblematic because by the time that Ace was on the show, it was kind of going through the same thing that the Whitaker era Doctor's going through now. It had been on so long that everyone was like,
I called it Sarah Jones. I screwed up. It was Sarah Jane Smith.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Yeah. I wanted to correct myself before chat did. But
yeah, so...
I just can't... I mean, the Jodie Whittaker era needs to end. It and just... It
there's even... There's
I know it is.
Well, there's even talk at this point. They were thinking that... Because they're bringing back one of the original showrunners that revamped it. For some reason, I can't think of his name right now. but they had thought that he was going to retcon everything. But the funny thing is, what they don't know is, during the time that he wasn't a showrunner, he was actually writing Doctor Who books, and even in some of the books, he referenced doctors that nobody had ever seen before. So there's a good chance that the retcon's not going to happen. They're just going to kind of push it into the back burner. So the whole the Timeless Child stuff won't necessarily disappear. It just won't be a focal point anymore.
It needs to go. Because that actually made everything that happened in Doctor Who up to that moment meaningless.
Well, that was kind of what they had to do, though, because remember, there were only supposed to be a set number of regenerations.
But they fixed that when Matt Smith regenerated. They fixed it, and then they had to go and fix it again for some reason.
The reason they fixed it again, because remember, it was hinted at that when Tennant became Matt Smith, when they got the energy from the alternate universe that was probably only going to be enough for one more regeneration. So they did have to go in and fix it again when they realized that at that point there was now going to be what would technically be, what, a 13th or 14th Doctor, when there was only ever supposed to be like 11 regenerations? I mean, they were well past the point. So that's why...
Yeah. Who knew them fixing it would actually kill the show? So it became a moot point anyway.
I mean, honestly, I don't necessarily... The show's dead. I don't necessarily mind the Timeless Child aspect, because to me it actually explained a few things that had never really made sense to me with Doctor Who. It wasn't that. It was the woke aspect of everything else that they did to it. And the thing about it is, after watching Whittaker on the show that I had come to know her on, which is the one that she and Tennant did together.
Broad Street. That was a great show.
She is awesome. That show was great. And these writers just bent her over the table and said, "You're done." I mean, they fucked her from jump, dude. It was just
and you know, we've talked about it over the last couple of years, is that the gender bending isn't what ruined it. Because they did that with Missy, and Missy was a fantastic character. It was Chibnall's show running. It was the writers. It was just so dull and so full of agenda. And, you know, it's like, you know, we've talked about where Trek would do agenda, but that you didn't know. It wasn't shoving it down your throat. It was telling a story that just kind of had, you know, the social, you know, thing of the week that they wanted to talk about as kind of like the underlying story, but they weren't in your face about it until fucking Kurtzman Trek. Same thing with Doctor Who. They could tell their story, and they were very good at telling the story and very good at adopting social causes. You didn't know it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like old school Star Trek. There were lots of social cues and social causes in there, but unless you knew what you were looking for, you really didn't notice it. I mean, it's just the way it was. But now everything's gotten so blatant because, you know, people just don't do subtlety anymore. You have to beat them over the head with shit before they even notice. Anyway, so to answer what Rooster just said in the chat, that's actually what I was referencing. So with the fix, they even hinted at the fact that it would still probably be a finite number of regenerations. So with this change, what they were trying to do, and the change probably would have gone over much better if not for all of the other bullshit they tried to pile on top with it, was they got rid of that finite thing. They were trying to build it into where, if possible, the show could keep going for forever, because the truth of it was this person has always been a part of this and always been able to regenerate, and they were actually the reason why Time Lords were able to start regenerating to begin with, and why they had finite regenerations and that one didn't. So I understand what they were trying to do, and if they hadn't tried to pile on so much other bullshit on top of it, it probably would have gone over better. But that's
so angry.
But that's just my take on it.
I'm like fifth season of Babylon 5 angry.
You know, I just finished fifth season. I have to admit, I never really watched it all the way through. It's terrible, don't get me wrong, but having watched it all the way through, it kind of almost makes sense now. I never made it past the first couple episodes where they made it seem like it was like a flashback with, like, you know, if you're watching this now, blah, 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 and this is what happened, this is from 100 years in the future, and we're coming back to you. So even the first time, I turned it off, like, I was like, yeah, fuck this, I'm done. And then the second time I tried to watch it, same thing, fuck this, I'm done. So this time I actually managed to fall asleep one night as it was rolling from the end of season 4 into the beginning of season 5. So I woke up one Saturday and it was past the point that I had always turned it off. I was like, oh, okay, I kind of get it now, but it's still terrible. It's just, I don't know.
I'm slowly reaching that point and I'm dragging my feet. As I usually, like, if I fall asleep during an episode, I'll, like, go back to the point that I last remember watching. I'm rewatching it. Oh, yeah, I'm in a loop right now of starting at the beginning and falling asleep at the same spot.
Yeah, but
so. I'm old.
Well, no, I get that, but the thing about it is, I mean, at this point I've watched this, other than season 5, I've watched the first 4 seasons of Babylon 5 probably 5, 6, 7 times by now. So if I fall asleep on it, if it's a really good episode and I know I missed it, I'll back it up. If it's not, I'm just like, you know what, I'm just going to let it keep playing. Because honestly, that's half the reason why I turned this shit on. Like lately, because I'm out of cool stuff to really watch to fall asleep to that isn't like, oh my god, I've watched this like 42 times already. I found Night Court on IMDb and I've been falling asleep to that at night.
Yeah, Night Court. I saw in a Discord channel I dropped a Harry Anderson on Cheers a couple weeks ago.
The funny thing is, I'd almost completely forgotten about the first couple seasons of High Court when, like, you know, then when Mac wasn't the clerk yet, and for like the first season, and then the older lady was there instead of Roz, and I was like, there's so many things about this that I had forgotten. But it's a really old show, so it's not surprising.
Yeah.
It's just rare for me, because like I said, up until recently, I never really used to forget things. Now I'm finding all these things, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I used to remember this, but apparently no, I don't. I think it might be time for my hard drive to get defragged, if you know what I mean.
I think Mac and Mac, Bull, and John Larroquette are the only cast that are still alive.
Pretty sure.
That's like Babylon 5. That man, Babylon 5 just hemorrhaged actors. I think Bruce Boxleiter is the only main cast character. Well, him and the Doctor.
Yeah, I think him and the Doctor are the only ones left, because Garibaldi's gone. I think even Delenn's gone now.
I think she died a couple years ago, yeah.
Which is, I mean, honestly, one of the reasons I was rewatching it is because I'm really kind of stoked about the whole reboot idea because of everything I'm hearing about it. Speaking of reboots, before we go, I came across this one and I thought this was pretty interesting. So apparently King of the Hill is about to do a reboot, but it's jumping into the future and it's going to be apparently Bobby being the adult now, which I think is interesting for a couple of different reasons. One, if this happens, it will start playing around the same age that I and my oldest son were at the time that that show started playing, and about halfway through, one of these times I had sent him to his room, and I had said something, and it pissed him off, and he slammed his door and said, "You're not fucking Hank Hill!" So I yelled back, "Damn it, Bobby!" So I'm just thinking, if they reboot it, then probably at some point, his oldest child is going to be yelling at him, "You're not Bobby Hill!" And then whatever Bobby's catchphrase is probably going to come out of my son. Just serendipity.
I don't know, you let go of my purse.
I hope that's not still his catchphrase. As an adult, that would be kind of creepy. I'm just saying.
I don't know. It'd be very.
I mean, it would be very modern. Anime. It would be very modern, but I don't see Mike Judge doing that. Well, we wound up going longer than I thought we would, so I don't feel quite so bad about there not being an off the rails tonight. But I guess I should probably let you go, because you do got to get up early, and so do I.
Yeah, we do. So, yeah.
All right, so as far as I know, I'm going to double-check with Jen in the morning, because I was going to try to reach out to her today, and then got sucked into training and bullshit, and was like trying not to blow my own brains out. So as far as I know, I think we're trying to do the show again tomorrow night, so we'll probably come on shortly after you guys finish. Okay. So I'll let people know for sure once I know, and then you and I are off this Friday. Have we decided what we're talking about next weekend?
No, we haven't yet. Okay. I'm sure we'll come up with it this weekend.
I just couldn't remember if we'd already decided on something. I was like, I don't remember, so I should probably ask. But anyway, we're going to get out of here. You guys enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night. Thank you for hanging out with us. Some of you have been hanging out with me since like 7 o'clock this morning Eastern. Some of y'all are animals, bro. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning. Stacy and I will be back. Bye!
Bye!